Blog Talk Radio. Hello, and God bless you. And may the blessings of the Lord overtake you. And when they overtake you, I pray that the Lord gives you the vision and the wisdom of how to maintain that which he blessed you with and for it to be eternally in the overflow. So welcome to Let's Talk. This is Cecilia. Today's program will be a little different. I'm going to pray first. But God, we magnify you. We glorify you. You're our Father, which art in heaven. Your name is hallowed. Your name is blessed. Your name is revered. Your name is holy. Your name is powerful. Your name is authoritative. Your name is eternal. Your name is greater than any name that has ever been made or even conceived and thought of in the heart of mankind and in this universe. We thank you for your name is great from city to city, from state to state, from country to country. God, your name is great from planet to planet. God, your name is great and greatly to be praised. Father God, we thank you for Jesus. Father God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. And Father God, we thank you for you, for your handiwork, for the purposes that you've given your people and their very existence. God, we cannot thank you enough, for even if we try to thank you every moment of our daily and even seconds in our lives, it still could not be enough. We thank you for your wisdom. We thank you for your vision. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your loving kindness. God, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. We enter into your gates with thanksgiving and to your courts with praise. For God, you are mighty and you are great. And today, God, we thank you for everything, even those things that we forgot to thank you for, food, for clothing, for protection, for families, God. Of forgiveness. You've forgiven us so many times, even when we forgot to repent and ask for forgiveness because of love. So thank you, God. Thank you for parents. Thank you for children. Thank you for siblings. Thank you for your protection. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So like I said, today is going to be different. First, I'm going to start it off with what it's and what it's going to be different for. So it may not be a program that's that long, but we're going to see. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday. So happy birthday, parents. I thank God for even the day that he allowed them to be even birthed into heaven to be there with him. So I thank God for my parents and that he allowed me to sing happy birthday to them. So today's program is dedicated to my mom and my dad and even to my siblings. Why? Because when God gave me my mom and my dad, he also gave me my siblings. When God gave me my mom and my dad, he gave me my children. When God gave me my mom and my dad, he gave me my nieces and my nephews. When God gave me my parents, he gave me my aunts and my uncles. When God gave me my parents, he gave me my great nieces, great nephews, my you know, just even the people that have married into our families. When God gave me my parents, He gave me all of those extensions. When God gave me my parents, He gave me love. When God gave me my parents, He gave me protectors. When God gave me my parents, He gave me people that were charitable. When God gave me my parents, He gave me people that were willing to embrace and love on people, even those that may have said all manner of evil against them. They lived the true life of bless those that curse you, do good to those that hate you, pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you. When God gave me my parents, He gave me a piece of Himself. Why? Because God knew the parents that I would need in order to be whatever He needed me to be. I have nothing to say about my parents other than thank you, God, for my parents. Some people would say, oh, your parents didn't do this and your parents didn't do that and they weren't great at this and they weren't great at that. But this is one thing that I know that I know that I know. When God gave me my parents, He had not made not one mistake. He knew who I should be birthed through. And I thank Him. I thank my all-knowing God. I thank Him for the correction that they gave me. I thank Him for the love that they gave me. I thank Him for the wisdom that they gave me. I thank Him for how they were walking epistles and how I could read them and learn from them. I thank God for my parents, and in memory of them, all I can say is I thank God for everything and everybody that came connected to me from them, my cousins, my aunts and uncles. I could just repeat it and go on and on and on. Why? Because happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, mama, daddy, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, hallelujah. So that's all I have. I'm going to see if any of my siblings are on the line and what they have to say about our awesome parents. So, yes, on Let's Talk today, it's about God, but it's also about the birth, the life, the ministry, and the love of parents. And on today, I dedicate this program to God and the parents. Amen. Minister Sheila, I see you're on the line. Do you have anything you would like to say?
Good morning, good morning, good morning, everyone. First, I want to give honor to God through His life that He's given to me and to be blessed with my mom, my dad, my family, my grandparents, and to my sisters, brothers, to my whole generations of family. I want to thank God because He has blessed us through a good cycle, a good circle, one that's blessed and they know without Him we will not even exist. To know that God is real, that we know that He is the one and only one. And I thank you, Sister Cecilia, Apostle Cecilia Kaiser, for being a sister that love and to honor and to teach us and to know that God is real. I just want to thank the Lord for the birth of me through Miss Lula and Beauty Kaiser. Beautiful, wonderful, adorable woman and man. Thank you.
Amen. So, For those of you that want to stay on the line and listen, the rest of the program, it's just going to be God allowed me to be ministered under right now, and that's Pastor Jenkins. And so you will hear the choir at First Baptist Glen Harden, because like I said, this is truly, truly, truly a day of celebration, celebrating men and women of God, celebrating our parents, celebrating the love of God. I don't know. I'm sure it's happened, but I don't know of a program that's ever been put together to honor parents, other than those that have been bishops and clergy or things of that sort. I know people do memorial services all the time to Martin Luther King, and they do memorial services all the time to various great leaders. Well, on today, our service is a wonderful thank you to God for our parents. And so one way to honor God is the Word of God, through the Word of God. And so I pray on today that you hear what Pastor Jenkins is saying and that you are truly blessed. So right now when we go into service, I believe they will be in prayer, praying for one another. So enjoy the program.
I'm not just saying that because she might, or maybe I am saying just because she might, gorgeous. She's a beautiful young lady. I'm so proud of my daughter and my husband. I'm grateful for all of the love that's been sent out to us. So I got two grandbabies in 2 months.
Let's pray. Let's go ahead and pray. Go ahead. We're going to spend a moment interceding for one another. Go ahead, all over this building. At this time, I'm going to pray just like they are in front of us, which you cannot hear at this time. Father God, I thank you for everyone that's standing in First Baptist Church at Glen Harden that are holding hands. I thank you for those that are holding hands on the airway. On this airway today is Minister Sheila and I. And God, I thank you for Sheila, for I take this phone and use it as an airway. I ask you to bless her. I ask you to heal her and make her whole in every area of her life. Heal and make whole everything in her life. Bless not just her body, but her family. Bless her finances. Bless her going in and going out. Bless her in everything that she does. Bless her to be a minstrel of the gospel of Jesus Christ and a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, bless her in those things that she has on her heart that she's been asking you for.
We glorify your holy name, your word that will be praised. Thank you for your loving kindness, the multitude of your mercies. Thank you for being our healer and our deliverer. We come before you praising your mighty name. Thank you for every door you've opened. And we're interceding for one another right now. We pray for our brother, our sister. We call their name out before your throne. Step into the domain of their circumstance and work a miracle on their behalf in the name of the Lord. Whatever they stand in the need of, God, grant it in Jesus' mighty name. Father, as we pray now. Not only for them, but we pray for our brothers and sisters around the world who join us through television and radio and internet. God, speak to them. Anoint them. Transcend locations and anoint and speak to them in the most profound way in the name of the Lord. Now, God, I pray for salvation and deliverance. Somebody needs to be saved. Save somebody this day. I pray for a backslider that needs to be reclaimed, somebody who's unsure of their eternal destiny. I'm praying and interceding. We're praying and interceding for that person, God, who is unsettled, unconnected, unchurched. We're praying for the saints to be strengthened and edified in the name of the Lord. Spirit of the living God, have your way in this place. We yield to your presence in the name of Jesus. Bind, God, every demon from hell and every distracting and every demonic spirit, and have your way, Spirit of the Lord. And we thank you, we glorify you, we honor you, and we give you the praise, which you've already committed to do. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. All right, praise the Lord. Open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 30. Minister Harris has already read this already once, but y'all need to hear it again. 1 Samuel chapter 30. I know you may have trouble finding 1 Samuel. It's right before 2 Samuel. That should help you. The 30th chapter, beginning at verse 1, happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it, taking captive the women and those who were there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. And the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. David's two wives, Hur the Jezreelite and Abigail, the widow of Nabalite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all.
I'm going to pause this and try to go to another
verse. Look at your neighbor and say, encourage yourself.
Be less,
on the other side, encourage yourself. All right, you can be seated. I want to take a moment before I get into the word. I'm so honored to have a special friend. I've been honored for the
just hold on a moment. Like I said, I want to try to see if I can find a version that doesn't have a hesitation with lunch.
Encourage yourself. On the other side, encourage yourself. All right, you can be seated. I want to take a moment before I get into the word. I'm so honored to have a special friend. I've been honored for the past couple of years to serve as the chairman of the board for an organization called the Skinner Leadership Institute. An organization involved with training leaders around the world, really, around our country. It's headed by the widow of Tom Skinner. Tom Skinner was a very, very well-known, powerful man of God. He passed some years ago. His wife took over the mantle of the job, and I'm honored to have Barbara Williams Skinner, Dr. Barbara Williams Skinner, with us here today. Thank you. This is a powerful woman. I'm honored to be in relationship with her. She bought another one of our board members with her, who happens to be a vice president at Coca-Cola. And she's an ordained minister. This is Reverend Lori George Billingsley. I want her to stand and welcome her. Reverend Billingsley, I have stock in Coca-Cola. I have bought so much Diet Coke. I at least own one of the seeds of Coca-Cola. I'm welcome and glad and honored to have them with us today. I want to talk to you today about this story in 1 Samuel 30. It's a very familiar passage of scripture. David is on the run from King Saul. Saul is trying to kill him. And the reason Saul is trying to kill David is because David killed Goliath. Y'all read it, right? He kills Goliath, and while they're marching into the city, the women are singing the praises of David. They have not seen them all. Run to save his life. And on his, while he's running away, he runs into a cave. Unknowns to him, in the cave is a bunch of rejected men. Scripture says they're in debt, in distress, and discontent. And David runs into this cave, and they, this group of disgruntled men, ask David to become their leader. He becomes their leader. And as a part of being their leader, this disgruntled group of men, he leads them to join the Philistine army. Now, that's, I try to say this all the time. It's amazing that here a Jewish guy would come and go and become a soldier in the army of the enemy. And yet he and these men get a job. They get employed by working for the Philistine army. And when the Philistine army is about to do battle, I wish y'all knew the Bible. I wouldn't have to give you all of this background. But it's important for you to understand the situation. When the Philistine army is preparing to do battle against the Jews, the Israelites, the general of the Philistine army inspects his soldiers and sees David and these Jewish men in his army. That would be like the coach of the Redskins about to play the Cowboys, and he sees some of the Cowboy players in the locker room about to tell him, no, this ain't going to work. By the way, the Cowboys got last week. Somebody give the Lord a prayer. The Redskins won, the Ravens won, the Cowboys lost. What a great weekend last weekend was. I love my life. So this general inspecting his army, he finds these Jewish men in his army, and he dismisses them. He fires them, sends them home. So they go, they're on their way back to their home in a little place that they defined as their city called Ziklag. When they get to the outskirts of Ziklag, they see that the city has been burned with fire. And there are no remains of their wives and children, so they know that their wives and children have been taken captive. And the Bible says right here in the text that these men became so upset that their wives and children had been taken captive, that David and his men came to the city. There was burned, verse 3. And their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David, verse 4, here's a significant verse, verse 4. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. These men cried. Now, you know, when a man cries, he's really in distress. And these men cried until they had no more tears to cry. They are in distress. And I thought I should talk about this today, because some of y'all have been crying for the circumstances in your life, and you cried until you can't cry no more. You ever been at a place where life has been so devastating, things are going so bad that you cry until you ain't got no more power to cry no more, no more tears. You're so frustrated with life. If you haven't gotten there, keep living. I promise you that place will find you. David found himself in a very distressing, and his men in a distressing moment, till they had no more power to weep, no more tears to cry. Verse 5 says that David's two wives also had been taken captive, and verse 6 says David was greatly distressed. Not only was he distressed about the situation, it was further complicated because the men who was with him became bitter. You read it in the NIV version. It says they became very embittered. They were very angry, very mad. And they were grieved because their sons and daughters had been taken captive. And verse 6 says the men, this group of rejected men, in distress, in debt, and discontent, became so mad and angry that there was some discussion among the group of stoning their leader. They're going to kill David. He led them down this path. They had not been following him in the first place. They wouldn't have went to the Philistine army and joined them, and then lost their job and got fired and come back, and now their wives and children are all gone. Their wives and their children represented their future, represented future generations, their heritage. And these guys spoke and talked among themselves about stoning David. And here David is already mad and upset. His children are captive. His wives have been taken captive, and the captives of all these men, and they've lost their job, and their city has been burned. Everything that they've worked for has been utterly destroyed. And the verse says right here that David was greatly distressed. What do you do when you're in a place of distress? Some of you have been there before. Here's what you've been doing. You've been drinking. Look straight ahead. Nobody know. I'm talking about you. You've been partying. I'm sorry. This is the 8 o'clock crowd. Cabareting. This is the sophisticated crowd. Y'all don't go to the club. Y'all go to the cabaret. Is that what it's called now? Okay, all right. Act like I don't know what I'm talking about. You've been getting high on drugs. You've been watching pornography. You've been sexing it. You've been doing all the wrong things to address the challenge of your circumstance. The thing about these things, once you go and do them, when you get done, you're still going to be empty on the inside. When the club shuts down, they start flashing the lights to tell you to go home. I guess they flash the lights still. What you say, Deacon Ron? You don't know? When you watch all the pornography you're gonna watch, if you done got high and come down from your drinking or your drugs, your problem's still gonna be there. It's not gonna change your circumstances. David found and discovered something to do, and that's what I want to talk to you about for these few moments that I have. It says right here in verse number 6. But David. I like when God puts his but in situation. But means there's a shift. Anytime you see but in the scripture, there's a shift that's about to occur. But David didn't waddle in the disgruntlement of his men or the sadness of his circumstance. Here's what he did. It says, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And that word strengthened is a Greek word. It's translated in the King James. Encouraged himself. It's a Hebrew word, I'm sorry. It's a Hebrew word that means, it's chizak. It means to talk to yourself. And there comes a time when talking to yourself is appropriate. Sometimes talking to yourself is not appropriate. I see people talking to themselves all the time, and I say to myself, they might be crazy. But sometimes you got to learn to talk to yourself. Talking to yourself is not bad. It just depends on what you're saying to yourself. And that word shizak means to repair, to speak repair to yourself. And in other words, some of you are talking to yourself, just treated you wrong, and you're thinking and saying all the wrong things to yourself. What you say to yourself makes a big difference in what the outcome of your circumstance is going to look like. David is in a place of leadership. Sometimes leadership can be a very lonely place. Sometimes you're in a place where nobody else understands what you're going through. There's some people who are following you who've never been in a place of leadership. They don't know what it's like to have drama in their life and know what to do or what to say. That's why there comes those times where you have to speak to yourself. And the question is, what do you say to yourself? David encouraged himself. He strengthened himself. And you got to begin to line up some scriptures that you know ahead of time that you can say to yourself. Quote to yourself Isaiah 54:17 that says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Say to yourself Deuteronomy 28:13, I am the head and not the tail. Say to yourself Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Say to yourself Psalm 20:7, some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord. Say to yourself, Deuteronomy 28:13, I shall be above and not beneath. Say to yourself, Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Say to yourself, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Say to yourself, Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet shall I trust in him. Learn to talk to yourself and encourage yourself and stop speaking bad things to yourself. Sometimes you got to quote an entire psalm, like 27th psalm. You got to say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and failed. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his pavilion, he shall hide me. He shall set me up high upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies around me. Therefore will I offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but talk to yourself. Somebody hop by your name and say, learn to speak to yourself. Say the right thing. Say it, I'm up and not down. I'm a winner and not a loser. I might be down now, but I'm getting up and coming up out of this thing. I might be crying now, but I'm coming up out of this thing. What you say to yourself matters. You speak in defeat and discouragement. Matter of fact, can I go a step further? In verse number 7, it says, David, go sit down. Y'all make me feel like I'm really preaching. Then David said to Abiathar, he's the high priest, Ahimelech's son, his resident, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. Now, what's the significance of this ephod? When the high priest would go into the place of worship, he would put on his vestures, his religious garments. And one of the pieces that he had that laid over top of all of the garments was something that fell from the shoulders and went down below the waist. And it's an ephod. It's called an ephod. Now, even though David was not the priest, he was not a priest, he asked for some priestly garments. Even though you're not the pastor, sometimes you got to put on some pastoral garments. You got to say to yourself, I might not be a priest, but I'm going to pray like a priest today. And I'm going to talk to God like I'm a priest. Matter of fact, here's his attitude. His attitude is, I don't need the priest to pray for me. I can pray for myself. Y'all not hear what I'm saying. Y'all got to stop thinking you need the pastor to pray for you. You got to know that you can pray for yourself. Matter of fact, I'm going to high-five myself on that one. I'll say, let me high-five myself on that one. But you got to learn to pray for yourself. Come on, somebody holler, say, pray for myself. Don't need you to pray for me. Don't need you to intercede for me. I got my own personal relationship with God. And I can go to him in my own secret chamber and tell him all about my problems and talk to God about my situation. And he will work it out. Pray for yourself. Get that attitude. I'm a child of the Most High God. Put that attitude on. That is the biggest challenge that we have with so many people thinking that they can't pray for themselves. And the thing we're trying to get the church to understand is you have your own personal walk with God. You don't need to depend on somebody else to pray for you. Because, you know, when you ask people to pray for you, then go, you know, y'all had somebody say, pray for me, and you see them a week later, and they say, child, my situation has changed around, and God has worked it out, and they say, then they say this, and I know it's because you prayed for me. But you didn't have the courage to say, child, I forgot to pray for you. I had my own drama I was praying about. That's why I don't have to depend on nobody to pray for me. Amen. I appreciate your prayers, but I don't need your prayers. Somebody tell your neighbor, I learned how to intercede for myself. Talk to God on my own behalf. Lay all my burdens on him myself, and he will hear. Matter of fact, I think I told y'all a couple weeks ago, he inclines his ear to my cry, and he will hear my faintest cry, and he will answer by and by. Put your ephod on. Put the attitude of who you are on. Put your old religious garment on. Go to God and act as though you're your own priest. So he put the ephod on, and then he prayed. Put your, encourage yourself, put your garment on, your priestly garment, and then he prayed. Here's what the text says. I love this right here. That verse number 8, David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered, the Lord answered him, pursue. For you shall surely overtake them, and without fail, recover all. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but it's time for you to pursue. Somebody say, pursue. Come here, Minister Hurd. Come here for a minute. Come here. Here's what pursue means. Pursue means you walk along life, and God says you're going to catch up with whatever it is and overtake it and capture it and bring it back home. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying. Something got away from you. Your joy got away from you. Your peace got away from you. Your hope got away from you. But you shall pursue it. You shall overtake it. You're going to catch up with it. You're going to grab a hold of it. And you shall recover everything that the enemy took from you. You shall recover all. Somebody say, I'm going to recover my sanity and recover my joy and recover my peace and recover everything God gave for me. You shall recover all. And the rest of the story goes on that David has been pursued. And they captured, and I love this thing, they came across a soldier. Read the rest of the story when you get an opportunity. They came across, they started pursuing and going after the people who took their wives and their children, and they came across a soldier who had been left to die. He got sick in the journey with these soldiers that had raided Ziklag, and the general of that army left him to die. And here comes David and his men, and they find this guy, and they give him some food, and they say, now tell us who you are. He says, well, I was with the army that attacked Ziklag and took the wives and children. They say, well, I love this right here. And David said, take us to where they are. Yes! Hallelujah! And here's the deal. This is another sermon all by itself, a message by itself. God will put people in line who can help you get what it is you're trying. Y'all not hearing me. Do I have any witnesses here? God will bring your path across with somebody who is the key to your deliverance and your breakthrough. And the Bible says he took them and they recovered everything. They recovered all their wives, all their children. They recovered everything. thing. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but it all started with David encouraging himself. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but you're about to recover everything. You're about to get back what the enemy took from you. You're about to be victorious. And it all starts with you encouraging yourself. Go ahead, talk to yourself right now. Tell yourself, I shall recover. I will win. I will get up out of this situation. I shall be healed. I shall live and not die. I shall be up and not down. I shall be a victor and not a victim. I shall recover all. Hallelujah. Somebody help me give God praise for what he is about to do. Your marriage shall recover. Your children shall recover. Your career shall recover. Your life shall recover. Your hope shall be recovered. You shall recover all. It starts with an encouragement of yourself. Hallelujah. I feel a shout coming on me right now. I feel a shout praising the Lord for all the miracles he's about to rout in your life, and the doors that are about to break open, and the answers that are about to come in your life. Somebody said, I don't have to wait till it happens. God's presence is good for me. I don't mind praising him right there. He's worthy to be praised. Worthy to be glorified and worthy to be thanked. Oh, when I thank you for goodness of Jesus and all that he's done, my soul cries out, thank God for saving. Oh, I feel shocked. I feel like giving him the praise and giving him a shout. I feel like giving him the glory.
Pastor Jenkins, for such an awesome word, and it's so appropriate as today's program is dedicated to parents. Today's program is dedicated to leaders. Today's program was dedicated to happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday, Mom and Daddy. Happy birthday, Mom and Daddy. Happy birthday. So until next time, this has been Let's Talk with Cecilia and even Minister Sheila on today. Thank you for helping us minister to the people, and also with our Pastor Jenkins on how great God's going to bless us and the challenges that leaders go through sometimes. And even as parents, we forget sometimes that we are leaders. And so that message was so appropriate. So make sure you call in tomorrow night for Iron Sharpening Iron, and it'll be with Minister Sylvia Kaiser and also Minister Brandon Kaiser, and they'll let you know who the speaker is, and also they'll be encouraging everyone to remember, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And that's Matthew 6 and 33. So until tomorrow, bye-bye, and stay blessed.